When we think of living legends in black history, Shirley Chisholm easily comes to mind. In 1968, as a former educator and member of the New York State Assembly, she became the first black woman to be elected to the U.S. Congress and became known around the world as a fighter for human rights and dignity. In 1972, she made history again by campaigning for the Democratic Party nomination for president, making her the first black woman to seek the nation's highest office. Hear now a few words from her speech when she retired from Congress in 1982.
I found out the truth of what Winston Churchill once said. He stated that in war you can be killed only once, in politics many times. And I have not always had good luck, and my major successes have not been frequent, but here I am tonight, ending one phase of my career, but as ready, as energetic, and as able as ever to proceed in this nation with the people's agenda.
And since her so-called retirement, she's been true to her word by continuing to promote what she considers the American ideals of freedom and justice for all. We are pleased to be joined now to share a few thoughts about her life and career by the Honorable Shirley Chisholm. She's with us via phone from her home in Florida. Congresswoman, nice to talk to you.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, Mr. Smiley.
Mr. Smiley, you're much too formal. Please call me Tavis. Since you retired, your so-called retirement, I should say, from Congress over 20 years ago, by all accounts, you have never stopped working. What you been doing for the last two decades?
Well, actually, I've still been traveling. I've been lecturing in different parts of the country. I've been writing, and I've become quite involved in a lot of things. I'm an activist. I just can't keep quiet.
what kind of issues of late have gotten your ire up, so to speak?
Well, I'm very concerned about the education of black children. I attend many seminars and meetings pertaining to children, and it's very disconcerting to me to see that our children are so far behind in terms of education.
Throughout the years, you've been widely quoted on a variety of issues, and education, as you speak of now, certainly is one of those issues you've always been passionate about and widely quoted on. But I've always, all the years that I've followed you and read your work and been a fan of yours, I've always wanted to ask you about something you said years ago. The quote was, "Of my two handicaps, being female put more obstacles in my path than being black." Talk to me about that quote.
Oh, yes, that is quite true. Because after all, men are men. They're black men, white men, brown men. And for a long time, in terms of tradition, men have had a certain kind of attitude towards women in general. And I met far more discrimination being a woman than being black when I moved out in the political arena. All kinds of meetings and all kinds of groups got together in order to stop me from moving out because I was very outspoken, very articulate, and I didn't take any guff from anybody.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you whether or not you think that that is true, that sexism at that level is true in just the political environment, or you think across the board in America?
No, it's across the board, because after all, men have placed women in a certain fashion. It's because of tradition through the years that the man is the most important being. No one is most important. They're stupid men and they're stupid women. And they're bright men and they're bright women. What one needs is the utilization of the talents of both of these persons coming from different genders in order to make the world work.
So male or female, just don't be stuck on stupid,
yes,
huh?
That's right.
How much progress do you think has been made for women in this country, especially in politics?
Oh, there has been a great deal of progress. We still need more progress, but there's been a great deal of progress. There are many, many more women. When I went to Congress, there were only about 9 of us. And today, there are 40, 41 women in the United States Congress. And women are running for more offices. There's been progress.
You made history, of course, when you announced your bid for president back in 1972. And this week, we heard, of course, from Carol Moseley Braun, the first black woman ever elected to the Senate. So you went to the House first. She went to the Senate first. And she made headlines, of course, this week, announcing that she intends to run for the Democratic nomination for president. What are your thoughts about a black woman having a chance to win the nomination 30 years after your announcement?
It's going to be quite difficult. I am very much upset because Al Sharpton is also running, and this is going to cause a division amongst the black people in the election, and that's what I'm concerned about. But after all, she has a right to run. She has the credentials, and she feels that she wants to make a contribution. So if it's her desire, and she has the following and the money, she will make the run.
You were out there 30 years ago in an environment that was somewhat different than the environment today, although race is still one of the most intractable issues in this country for my money. And so she, again, is a woman. She is an African-American. What advice would you give to Carol Moseley Braun?
Well, I would tell her she really needs to organize her campaign very well. She needs to raise a great deal of money. She needs to have a knowledge of the main issues that concern the people of this country. It's going to be quite difficult. I'm somewhat saddened, however, by the fact that Alfred Sharpton is running, Reverend Sharpton, and that's going to cause a division amongst the blacks in terms of potential votes.
From the war, Congresswoman, to the economy, to the ongoing struggle for civil rights, as we have this conversation in Black History Month, a lot of conversation going on Capitol Hill. If you were still a member of Congress, what issues, aside from education that we discussed earlier, would you still be vocal about in the House?
I'd still be vocal about the same kinds of issues. You know, it's the same thing. The issues never seem to change pertaining to black people. I would be very vocal about education. I'd be very vocal about housing. Very vocal about health. Health problems are really of great concern in this country. I'll be vocal among the same kinds of issues that have been prevalent for such a long time.
What do you make about this war on terrorism that we're fighting and the potential war with Iraq?
Pardon?
What do you make of this war on terrorism that the U.S. is fighting, and what do you make of the potential U.S. war with Iraq?
I don't feel we should be going to war with Iraq at this moment. Lots of lives are going to be lost. People are going to be killed. People are going to be harmed. And I don't think there is no real imminent danger of starting a war in Iraq.
You were, as I recall, a staunch critic of the war on Vietnam during your political years. Any similarities?
Yes, there's certain similarities. There's certain similarities in terms of the fact that thousands, millions of persons will be injured, will be hurt. Anytime you go to war, you could always really expect a great deal of difficulty. But in this war, because of the advancement of technological improvements and the advancement of the kinds of debates that are going on amongst the countries, we find that this will be a much more detrimental kind of war.
Your church, the First African Methodist Episcopal Church there in Palm Coast, Florida, is paying a special tribute to you this weekend, and I was honored to have asked to be a part of the program because of other speeches scheduled a year ago. I couldn't get there this weekend. But first of all, congratulations to you on this wonderful honor this weekend. And what is so significant about this honor this weekend? You've received many before, obviously.
Yes, well, I think what is so wonderful that, sir, I've been out of Congress now going about 12, 13 years, and persons are still remember me, and they still feel that I made a contribution. And they're going to honor me at the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And for this, I'm very grateful to Reverend Millard Glover and the people that attend that church. I'm very excited.
So life is still good for you these days?
Yeah, right. Very good.
Among her many titles, former Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm is an educator, a speaker, an author, truly a heroine in black history and, for that matter, American history. Congresswoman, honored that you had time to talk to us today, and have a wonderful time this weekend.
All right. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
All right.